Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
She is gone. It's a grand slam. Swung on, hit in the air to right field. It is high. It is far. It is gone. His third home run of the game. A Judgian blast to right field.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, BT and Sal back on The Fan. It's 105. Get back to these Jets and Giants draft calls. Hit a little Yankees as well. Sal, I have not stayed up for all 27 hours, but I've obviously, you know, popped into going back to the first game last Friday against Yamamoto and the Dodgers, checking on these Mets who were red hot when they first left New York. I mean, God, it feels like the Mets are like out of sight, out of mind. I mean,
know.
Not to a devout Met fan, of course, you're going to watch. But
no, but still, West Coast trip combined with the playoffs with Knicks and Rangers.
That's what like, I mean, really more so. And then the draft, everything's kind of swallowing up these Mets here. Trip started really well. It's taken a little turn south, not unexpectedly, but facing some good pitchers, some good teams, obviously the Dodgers. Where are you with Lindor?
I'm bothered by Lindor now. I'll tell you this, and I might have told you this off the air, but so Friday night against Yamamoto, Lindor, I might have said this on the air, I don't remember. Friday night against Yamamoto, Lindor comes up early in the game with two guys on. I'm like, all right, this is it. Mm-hmm. This guy's throwing a straight fastball.
Yep.
Get in there and rip one, and let's get the season going. And he didn't. And I almost tweeted, like, that's it. Like, sit him, drop him, I've had enough. Like, you know me, I've been his biggest supporter, at least one of them, and being patient with him. That spot was the definitive, like I saw with Judge, and I came in the next day and said I'm concerned about Judge or whatever weeks ago. That spot to me was, like, enough of Lindor. Later in the game, naturally, or maybe even the next at bat, he gets the big hit, home run, whatever, and then he starts getting going. I'm like, all right, so maybe good thing I didn't jump the gun. Mm-hmm. However, fast forward, he keeps coming up in big spots. Marte's getting on in front of him. There are guys
Marte's hot.
Yeah,
he's
and,
hot.
And Lindor's not doing anything.
Nothing.
Like, at some point, I could sit here and back you and encourage you and say, like, at some point, you got to start producing here. I know it's the first month and he's a historically slow starter, but to your point, BT, they need him to produce, to have success. If he continues to struggle, it could be too late again. I'm not going to go nuts with their losing streak. I do think they bounce back today, whoever they face. Blake Snell just got scratched and whatever. You know, it stinks because you'd rather face him. He's been awful this year.
Yeah.
But I do think the Mets will bounce back and get a win. However, if they don't, now they start to go in the wrong direction again. Mm-hmm. And Lindor's front and center because he's coming up. Like, they gotta do something. You can't keep running them out there, especially left-handed, and keep having them hitting third in the order.
Yeah, I mean, there's really two ways to process. A big picture, you know, macro view, the Mets are still in pretty decent shape. I mean, the two teams behind him in the division, certainly the Miami's horrendous. So they're going to bag some wins. So I don't want to overreact to this. But as I've said all along, the NL Central is very, very competitive. Everybody but the Cardinals are over 500.
No, but it is more about Lindor.
That's right. Where,
like,
I'm going.
Big picture, I'm not really concerned about them. After they righted the ship, now again, we'll see if they're going to be a playoff team or not, but I feel like at least this is going to be the year. Win some, lose some, win some. That's what 500 teams do.
Yep.
They'll hit a losing streak. They'll have a couple of wins. They'll win some series. They're allowed to lose a few games here or there. They're not going to be a 90-win team.
Agreed. Agreed.
So if you're a 500 team, this is what it's like. I'm fine with that. I wouldn't accept.
You expect some volatility.
Yeah, I wouldn't accept the 0-5 start and then have it go, you know, 7-20 or whatever.
Unwatchable. Like, yeah.
No, this is where they're supposed to be sitting.
Uh-huh.
Fine.
I agree.
Lindor's got to get going.
Okay,
here.
I agree. So even Pete's back up to the 260s. Marte's been hot, as we talked about. There's two options. And I said this about 2 weeks ago. I don't think the Mets will do this. And I could see even why on some level they shouldn't, even though I would seriously investigate this. You're only hitting righty. But I don't think that that's an option. But what they could do, you got to drop him.
Minimum.
You can't roll them out as your three-hitter. You just can't.
Or how about have him hit third against lefties and drop him against righties? Like, something's got to be done. And I'm telling you, BT, it drives me nuts. And I'm not pretending to be a hitting coach, but the way he holds the bat.
You've been saying this for a while.
It's been going on with him since he's been here. To a point where we watch baseball all the time. I've watched it my whole life. When something like that gets your attention, it means it's abnormal.
Yeah.
Now you combine, and we're talking about his hand bottom hand falling off first.
Yeah.
It's abnormal. I'm not saying that that's the issue, but when you see something abnormal and you see a guy clearly struggling from the left side, I don't know if it's his grip, where he's holding the bat, if the bat's too heavy, something is off with Francisco Lindor from the left side. I really believe that there's something more to it, and it is frustrating to watch, especially when you thought he was starting to come out of it, and especially where the Mets desperately need him, where they got guys on in front of him. He's got to be dropped, minimum.
Do you think that do you think that they have the appetite for that?
No, Mendoza's not going to do that yet.
You don't think so?
No, why they can't do it to a veteran, to the guy of his
career. Not
yet. Yeah. But like, at what point does it become too late? You know what I mean? Like, get him going. However it is you get him going. Sit him down. Move him down to the order. You know he doesn't want to sit. He wants to play every day, which you love about it. But you just can't keep doing it. You're banging your head against the wall. You thought it was going to click. He started to produce, and then it didn't again. Like, something's got to be done about it. You can't just let him sit there and kill you out of the third spot.
He's just not hitting the ball hard. I mean, I know this is, you know.
You got the lefty numbers here?
Well, I got overall.
Okay.
And be a little geeky. I won't get too deep into it. Not everybody's into this. I get it. But his sweet spot percentage, which very simply is how many times you basically barrel the ball up. And square it up. 12th percentile.
He's popping 12. Everything off.
And his arm strength, this surprises me. His arm strength right now.
He hasn't been great defensively either.
No, he hasn't been. Is 25 percentile. Now, his range is still really good. So he's getting the balls. The arm strength is 79.7 miles per hour. His sprint speed is good. So his running, but his running, maybe lost a half a step. He's still 70%. That's fine. He's going to be 30. What do you expect? Or he is 30.
Right, but that's a big problem.
But you got to hit, man. And he just cannot hit lefty.
This is a big problem. We know what the contract is. We know that's not changing. He's got to produce. And he's got to produce from start to finish of a year. Not all of a sudden put up meaningless numbers at the end of the year. And maybe this year they won't be meaningless because the Mets will be in it.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, he's got to get going. It's already the end of April. Like,
you
got
to join the party when there's still a party to go to.
Yeah, right.
That's the point.
Right. You can't join the party and celebrate
when the lights are out.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. And everything's a mess. You got three drunks on the floor.
There's no
food. You're walking to the party. Yeah. There's nothing left. Empty cheese doodles, you know, bong on the side, crumbs 30 bottles of wine empty. Where is everybody? A party's over.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to show up to the party at that point. He might.
I was giving him the benefit of the doubt for being a late starter, but that's like 2 weeks in. Maybe 3 weeks in. Dude, it's been a month now. Let's go.
Yeah.
And he's up in big spots.
I know he is. He can't hit third anymore. But we'll be watching. And
by the way, how about moving him up to try to
Then what do you do, though? You don't want to put Marte third. I know Marte's hitting. What do you want to do?
Have him
Pete
lead
third
off.
Or something? No,
I would have him lead off.
Nimmo's not hitting very well either actually.
I'm not moving.
I'm not going to mess with Nimmo, but Nimmo's not hitting either.
I'm just trying to come up with a solution.
Okay.
He can't be where he's at. And I'm not moving Marte because Marte, we've learned, is a creature of habit. He likes being penciled in that two spot and leave him alone.
And they had success 2 years ago in the two spot.
Correct.
Like Marte.
So that's it. He's the two.
Don't touch him.
He had success in 2022 in that spot. spot. He's doing it again as healthy. Leave him alone in the two spot. So now, what are you going to do? You move Lindor down? Okay. Or maybe you get creative, move him up, have him bat leadoff in front of the hot Marte. Maybe he could get on, be an igniter as opposed to a guy who's going to come up with guys on. Have Nimmo be a guy who could be on in front of Pete or drive Marte in.
Maybe put Nimmo third?
Yeah.
I mean, people thought about that before the start of the year. Remember we saw that? There was like a little undercurrent of that. Maybe move Nimmo to three?
Yeah.
He doesn't look like he's, I mean, he's certainly not, he's not mid-season form yet. But
they need to do something to get Lindor going. I'm not saying just drop him down and like humiliate him.
No, move him
up then. Fine. You can't have him in third. In between your two best offensive players.
Yeah, it's not going to be sustainable. I'm with you on that. 877-337-6666. BT and Sal. All right, little Lindor stuff. We gave you some Yankee stuff earlier. Obviously, Jets and Giants ruling the day. Draft tomorrow, round one. And then, obviously, the other stuff over the weekend. Middle rounds, fill out the roster so we can really make some steals. What do you expect here? Mike is at Astoria. Mike, what's going on?
Hey, BT and Sal, you guys are the best. Love the show. I was just saying, you look at the success the Knicks are having with the Noble boys. When it comes to the Giants draft, if they do get McCarthy, what do you think if they get Corum and they get receiver?
Well, you know what it is, Mike? I hear you, but you know this, but it's not the same. Like, when you're playing basketball, when those guys were playing under Jay Wright, think about the again, I use the word, I always use this word with the Knicks because they're so connected. The connectivity that you have to have to play through each other and with each other and around each other, spatial awareness, anticipation. Like, it's next level in basketball. I'm not saying that there's not such a thing as synergy in football. It's just less applicable.
Yeah.
But I'm not drafting guys just because they played together in college.
Right, but we've seen it work with quarterback, wide receiver combinations. I mean, that would be the – where else would you do it? If you're not doing a quarterback –
quarterback center, but that's so. How many centers are going early?
So Chase and Burrow are the recent example that come to mind. You figure, hey, you know what? We have an opportunity. Let's pair these guys together and see what they could do. And obviously, it's worked. I wouldn't be opposed to that. I wouldn't, you know, need to make that a focal
point. Me neither. Let me ask you this real fast. So, if we agree and we should, but I'll let you answer. Mm-hmm. What's the one thing the Jets and the Giants both need?
That they both need
both
offensive line.
Need.
Offensive line, to me.
I would just say offensive firepower.
Okay, help. Yeah, right.
Offensive presence. Like, there's no way we should hear a defensive player called in round one.
I see what you're saying. Well, the one thing is the Jets should be better by default because of Aaron Rodgers' return offensively. But, yes, you're right. They have both been embarrassingly bad offensive teams to a point where, I mean, last year became unwatchable.
It was brutal. Antoine, Middletown, Connecticut. What's up, Antoine?
Hey, gentlemen. Pleasure. Big fan of you, too. I appreciate taking the time.
You got it, buddy. What's happening? You good?
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Good. Yeah, so my first thing is, like, PTSD, man. You know, being a Jets fan, this offensive line has given me PTSD since Nick Mangold and Brickashaw Ferguson left, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So all week I'm debating with you guys. I'm like, we got to go offensive tackle, man, because if these guys go down, what are we going to do, right? But then it hit me. Mike Williams. He's not healthy either, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if he goes down, we're down to just Wilson and Breece Hall.
No, it's the same thing again as last year.
Pretty much.
Exactly. So, you know what? I am thinking Bowers now.
Uh-huh.
Because the guy's great at blocking, right? So run blocking, down the field blocking, and he's a weapon, right? So I think he hits both points. I think that's our guy, and you guys have been alluding to some great stuff. Like, if we can trade back and get him,
that's a chance. And Antoine, think about this. Like, there's nothing that would preclude the Jets from making a trade during training camp or somebody gets cut just to bring in a somewhat useful, serviceable, and functional offensive line body to provide depth. You're not finding that kind of dynamic player to play tight end or receiver. I think that they've got to get a pass catcher.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I'm not necessarily opposed to it, but I do think it'd be more important to take an offensive lineman. Now, if they don't love an offensive lineman, that's a different story. And the appealing thing about a dual threat tight end, meaning one that's a great blocker and
obviously
a pass catcher.
Yeah, but Bowers is an average blocker. Great receiver, average blocker.
See, that
not
would,
terrible.
That would worry me.
But average.
That would worry me because you want to keep the defense on their toes. So if you have a guy that is a great blocker, now, you don't know if it's a run play or if it's a pass play with him.
Yeah.
If you know he's a weak or weaker blocker,
Yeah.
you know, he's in there, what they're going to do with him, and you can get around him, and, yeah. and it can make things tricky. So unless you're a great blocker, I then would be hesitant to take a guy, certainly top 10. Now, you want to tell me they don't love a lineman, trade down a little bit, and still get your guy? I'd be more open to that. I think the Jets are making a mistake if they don't take a lineman, assuming that they love one that's available.
The other thought, though, and I like where you're going with, like, a tight, if you, now you go double tight end, and, right. you know, Ruckert's a good block, whatever, but generally speaking, you get a pass-catching tight end. He's on the field. We're throwing the ball. All right. That's fine. You can know what I'm going to do, but not have the guy to stop me.
Yeah.
I know Michael Jordan's going right. It don't matter. He can tell me, hey, I'm going right.
But I think that's
and
what
you're not
made,
gonna stop me.
I think that's what made New England so successful with their, you know, with Aaron Hernandez before. They had the two guys. You didn't. Now, again, it's a dual threat, but also they were good blockers. Like, it helps. Yeah. Travis Kelce's a good blocker.
Yeah,
like, those George Kittle's a good blocker. Yeah, I understand it, but you want to run the football. You need good blockers.
Do they want to run the football? I don't know that they want to run the football.
You're going to need to. You can't throw it 40 times.
I think they're going to, yeah. No, I mean, hear
you. You're right where the game's evolved to where you do throw it more. You still need to run the football effectively to have ultimate success.
Yeah.
Especially if you have a lead late in games where you impose your will and mm-hmm. run the football, run the game out, run the clock out.
Yeah.
The great tight ends, to me, are guys who can do both. You need to be able to block well. For me. I know the game's changed. I'm not taking a tight end unless I think he's a great blocker.
Yeah, no, he's not. So then you're not taking him. And I'm still going to take him, even though I know he's not a great blocker. He's, you know, when they start to describe someone as a willing blocker, what that really means is, hey, he's willing to stick his beak in there, but he's not going to do as much damage as you need to have done.
Right.
But he's willing. And if you're willing, generally, you know, 5, 6, 7 more pounds of functional weight, which he'll get as a pro, a little better technique and leverage. He could become, become a good blocker if you have the heart for it.
By the way, I'd have the same philosophy, less so, but it's important to me too with receivers. Make sure you get receivers who are not opposed to blocking either, because it goes a long way. Physical toughness, extending runs, wide receivers who can block well, they help win football.
You know who's an awesome blocker for the Jets? Receiver. Great blocker.
Who?
Keyshawn.
Oh, yeah.
Keyshawn was down the field.
All the skill in the world, but could do the dirty stuff as well.
He was a
great blocker. Roddy White was always a great blocker.
Yes, he was. Roddy White, he was strong. He was probably even stronger than Keyshawn. I remember Roddy White being thick. Like, Keyshawn was tall, 6'3".
Good
and fairly thick.
There have been a bunch, but those guys, you see them on big plays throughout the course of the game, and, you know, the color analysts highlight it.
Springing guys loose.
It's imperative that you have guys that are willing to do it as opposed to standing there watching or upset that they don't get to, you know, catch the ball in that
spot.
Yeah,
just dancing around. I hear waving their arm.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered! Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is, hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
All right, today's Call of the Day brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely, choose Ramsey Mazda. Howard's in Brick, New Jersey. Howie, what's happening?
Hey, listen. listen, there's nothing sexier than when my wife puts on one of my football jerseys and nothing else.
All right, it's a baggy sweatshirt. It's good luck.
Hey, two donuts is always acceptable, and I want free coffee for the rest of my life. But
I like that.
Listen, I agree with you guys about the Knicks. If they're not up by 20 in the fourth quarter, the refs are not going to give them that game. There's no question about that.
Yeah, and good luck getting up by 20 in the fourth. And by the way, it's not unrealistic if Jalen Brunson plays the way that Jalen Brunson plays.
There's a chance the Knicks get knocked around tomorrow night.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I still think Brunson could figure it out, and I expect him to do in game three.
All right, Howie, get to the point. You hit at least five different things here. Right? You want to hit the Islanders power play kill next? Come on.
Yeah. The next thing is about the Jets. Now, at 10, I do like Brown. I love that kid. Oh, I think he's definitely Kelsey-esque. However, if I'm the GM, I would like to trade that pick maybe to either Denver, Vegas, or even New Orleans, move down, still get Bowers, and still get maybe a 41st pick overall.
I think there's a chance. That's the smart thing. You said some interesting stuff otherwise. That's the smartest thing that you said. Okay, there you go. It's the BT and Sal call of the day. So, Sal, Hoff, you said you saw a tweet there pertaining to the Giants and what they might be thinking. McCarthy, what did McCarthy say?
So, according to Rich Eisen on his show, I lost the tweet, but here he is. Andrew Sicilani tweeted this out. J.J. McCarthy.
Andrew Sicilani.
Sicilani?
Okay.
Sicilian.
Was he the one who was let go by the NFL Network recently?
Yes.
Yeah, I liked it. He's pretty good.
Where's he at now?
Well, he's looking for a job.
Oh, okay.
He's on X.
Okay. All right,
go ahead. Found him.
I didn't know he's tweeting. Okay, but go ahead.
He said J.J. McCarthy told the Rich Eisen show that he spent his most time in the pre-draft process with one team.
The Giants?
Boom.
Yeah.
Two meetings.
Okay, now keep in mind, I believe Rich is a Michigan man. Rich went to Michigan, so you know that Rich Eisen, first of all, even if he didn't go to Michigan, he's well-piped in,
right,
and he's really one of the main faces of the network.
He's the one who started the whole Giants are over Daniel Jones thing, right?
Yep, that came up at the Combine over in Indianapolis. So I would imagine, just based on the proximity and the school relationship, that McCarthy's going to give him the scoop and Eisen's going to have some good stuff. Maybe the Giants trying to throw somebody off scent. You never know.
Well, no, you don't know, but there were also reports, I think it was Schrager first, maybe weeks back, that said the Giants were, I don't want to say enamored or use the wrong word, but interested, put it that way, in J.J. McCarthy. So there's a lot of smoke there with the Giants and McCarthy. I'll tell you this. If they trade up to 3 or 4 and end up with McCarthy, I would be disappointed at that, especially 3. Like, if you trade up to 3 and get McCarthy there, if that's their guy, I would be okay if they got him at 6. If they loved him, I can't trade up for McCarthy. If he's not there at 6, you trade down.
I mean, it seems aggressive. It seems a little unnecessary. I like McCarthy. I like him more than you.
Trade up, though?
Well,
2 or 3 picks?
I mean, the one thing that I don't really do, and it doesn't mean that we're right, because this whole thing's a guessing game for the most part. Yeah, it's projections. It's leaning on what you know, but hoping you piece everything together. It's really an exact science. That's why so many GMs get fired, because they mess up. I don't really care. Like, if it's deemed aggressive by most, I don't overreact to that unless it's like an egregious overbuy or complete. Like, I just really think that this guy stinks. And I don't think McCarthy stinks. And I don't think Drake May stinks. So if they move up to get one of these guys, I'm not going to bury him. Better work out, or they bury themselves.
But why couldn't they just get McCarthy at 6 then?
Like, because maybe the Raiders want to jump into the 4 spot with the Cardinals, who were apparently willing to trade, and then you can't get them.
But the Giants have other needs
as
well.
Or the Vikings.
Yeah, I know. I'm okay with trading up for a quarterback. I'm not okay with trading up for McCarthy, especially number 3. You want to say, all right, they feel, the intel that they get, tell them that, hey, you want McCarthy? It can't be at number 6, unfortunately. It's got to be at number 4.
Sal.
And the reason why I say that is because number 5 is basically, they're not taking a quarterback. So
who's 5 again? What am I forgetting?
The Chargers.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so, the Vikings might trade in there.
Yeah, I'm not buying.
They have 2 first-round picks.
Go ahead, Hoff. What?
Now, if the Giants do trade to like 3 or 4 and then take J.J. McCarthy, would you say,
I will quit?
No.
You say, let's go, J.J.
No, I forget what I said that one for at that particular time. I've had many of those, but
it was during the overnight.
No, I'm not going to Yankees make the playoffs this year. I quit.
Yeah,
I'm not.
Let me hear that again.
If the Yankees make the playoffs this year, I quit.
Oh,
No. Yeah,
was that the other day?
What year was that? That was last year.
It had
year.
To be
come
last
back
year.
Yeah. And make the playoffs this year. I quit. I can't take it anymore. Yeah, that was last year, of course.
I don't know. I think you said it last week.
Yeah, now here's what's going to happen. Somebody in digital is going to get that clip and make
Sal
that, like I said it
to
today.
Quit a 2024 Yankees secure
right.
playoff
right.
spot.
Exactly. Why put
Kill
any,
me!
Why put any context there?
Let's go, Yankees!
Oh, man.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
I'm not going to get that worked up about it, but I do. Like, I want to see them be aggressive, and if they love a guy, that's fine. I just feel like they don't need to do it with McCarthy because the fact that I don't believe the Chargers are going to trade out of number 5.
I think they could.
Yeah, I mean, they could.
I think anything could happen. Maybe that's not the best way to frame it.
Beat,
I think they might be motivated to do it.
The way they'd get beat, the only way the Giants get beat for McCarthy,
okay,
if that's the guy that they want, if they want May, it's a different story. And then you're going to have to trade up for number 3. The only way the Giants get beat for McCarthy is if Minnesota trades up to number 4.
Which very well might happen. Very. Or number 5.
Right, but then, okay, so if that's going to happen, then you have to trade up for 3. So then trading up to 4 shouldn't be the option. Trade up to number 3 then. Now you're moving up 3 spots, and you guarantee yourself a pick of at least 2 guys.
Yeah. I think tomorrow night's going to be nuts.
Yeah, I can't wait.
See, what's really interesting about this, and complicated, I think we all agree, there's some of you still hanging on to that Daniel Jones rope. It's going to eventually snap for you, but you haven't relinquished it yet. Okay, fair enough.
No, it's going to be pulled from you eventually.
Yep. It's already frayed. I mean,
yeah,
it's
right, snapping
soon. So I think most of us, general consensus is Giants obviously need to draft the quarterback. Okay, now you could split. Do you take somebody in the middle rounds and maybe throw a Hail Mary? I'm less inclined to go there, but some people think that. I do respect it because it's not a bad philosophy. But what really makes it tough for them is that there's a lot of quarterbacks that people really like, but there's still a lot of questions about them. Giants are in a position at 6 to maybe get a little lucky and not have to move and have one of them fall to them, maybe. One could fall to them, and the one that falls to them, they don't love. But then the other thing, and this is they can't really control this at all unless they move up proactively or preemptively, there's 2 teams, and I think specifically the Vikings and the Raiders, 3, and Denver, who I think are really going to try to jump past the Giants
right.
to get a quarterback, whether it's Penix. I mean, so good luck, Joe Shane.
Yeah.
This is not an easy one to navigate.
Well, the only way to guarantee if they do want one of the top quarterbacks, the only way to guarantee that is to trade up to number 3.
Yeah, probably
then you
right.
have your
probably
pick.
Right.
Then you have the 3rd pick. You know Caleb Williams going first.
I think Jaden's going too. You got your pick out of McCarthy or
there you go.
Or, oh, let me just throw out 1,000
Drake
names
May.
Here. Drake May, there you go, thank you.
Yeah.
Or Penix.
Well, I mean, come on.
That's a little nutty.
They
could get Penix at 6.
Well, right.
Probably get him at 10 if you drop back.
Yeah, they could get one of those 3 at, obviously.
Or 9, not the Jets, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, right. They would guarantee themselves Penix. They're not, you can't lose, I mean, imagine somebody did trade up. So let's say the Vikings trade up for 4 to get McCarthy, and then somebody trades up to 5 with the Chargers to take Penix. I mean, there's no way that's going to happen. I guess it
that
could.
Seems a bit unlikely given that situation.
I mean, if the Giants like Penix, you take him at number 5. But all the smoke that I'm hearing and reading about, it makes me feel like the Giants want McCarthy.
Just keep in mind.
Could be a smoke screen.
Yeah, I was going to say, all the smoke and all the stuff that we're hearing and the intimations and the narratives, generally by design, to throw people, not us, people who make decisions on who's going to get drafted, throw them off scent, and then, wow, we come in the next day. Didn't see that coming. Could be one of those nights, too, you know? 877-337-6666. But the bottom line is, Jets and the Giants, prime position to strike, move up, move back, get an immediate plug-in play guy, you know, unless it's the quarterback. Maybe the Giants would roll out the backup for a little bit here. But it's going to be a fun night.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
World Series over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The most successful team in the history of professional sports. Starting the new millennium, the New York Yankees are once again world champions.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
This is a little Creedence Clearwater? Yeah, we go. A little Creedence. I guarantee Sal never even heard of Creedence Clearwater.
Absolutely, I've heard of that.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, because John Fogerty, who sings Center Field.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, there's the connection. I'm admittedly surprised by that. Impressive.
Yeah.
There you go.
Couldn't name you much about them, but yeah, well, that one, yeah. Of course, playing that before Wiffle Ball. I know it gets played out, but my buddy Travis used to bring that over. You had the cassette and the whatever, like, boombox, whatever you call it. And
oh, the portable boombox?
Blast that song, center field. We'd be playing Wiffle Ball for hours out front. It was great.
I'll tell you who's going to be screaming, put me in coach to Aaron Boone pretty soon. My boy Spencer Jones.
Oh, God. No, you might need him.
We might. Have you taken a little gander at the numbers so far, double
Jesus.
A summers? I'm just saying, I know you haven't, so
I have not.
Rhetorical question.
Double A numbers, go ahead.
Well, I mean, he's hitting .423 with an OPS of over 1,200. Hmm. So
bring him up.
After the after the spring that he had, it's continuing, and he's coming.
Forward, future
first baseman.
All kidding aside, I'm looking forward to Dominguez coming back with this team, seeing what he could do, if he could be legitimate as opposed to just the seven games.
Yeah.
And I really want to see... For good or bad, I want to see what Spencer Jones Moss can do at the big league level.
All right.
I need to get that in.
I forgot about that one. Yeah, you did have that. Let's get back to you guys here. A lot of Jets and Giants stuff. Draft tomorrow. If you missed anything, free Odyssey app, hit rewind. And a cool thing is that, and I just tweeted this, and it's really the theme for me. Yeah, I want the Jets to take Bowers. Easy to justify. Yes, I think the Giants must walk away with their quarterback tomorrow night in round one. But both the Jets and the Giants... they can move up, they can move back, or they can sit pat at 6 and 10 respectively and still get a plug-in stud right away. So tomorrow night, I don't want to get a little too hyperbolic here, but we might reflect on tomorrow night down the road as a really, really pivotal night for both teams. Gary's in Bud Lake. Gary, what's cooking?
Hey, how you doing? Great show, guys. Just a real quick question. You answered most of my questions already, but... can you envision any type of scenario where the Giants get somebody like McCaffrey or Drake May, and they wind up trading him for something that they need offensively, like a receiver?
You mean like what? Like the Chargers and the Giants back in the day when they? I mean, that seems a little. I don't think you have to complicate it that. If you just want a receiver, take him.
Okay, because I want them to get Drake May,
and
I know the Vikings also want him too. They're going to try and trade up. I think there's going to be a little bit of a battle.
Hmm.
So I think if the Giants can get McCaffrey, that's really the way to go, right?
Well, I mean, not for everybody. I mean, I like McCarthy. You used to talk about McCarthy.
What the hell are you talking about? McCaffrey. Yeah. McCarthy.
I like McCarthy, but I'm not going to be so arrogant or so presumptuous to get on the air and tell you that I know everything about these kids. I don't know everything about anything. I mean, nobody knows everything about anything.
Right.
But especially with the draft, I mean, I'm not sitting there scouring film.
No,
I'm not
ridiculous.
Watching 15 college games on a Saturday.
It's ridiculous. But even if you did, you still, like, their jobs is to get it right. And we still have no idea, A, who's picking where, because it could be one way right now. It could totally change tonight or tomorrow or during the draft. So it's foolish to come up with mock drafts and all stuff. What you do is get your intel from people that it's their job to report on it. Like a guy like Schrager or whoever else you may trust, whether it's, I don't know, somebody from NFL Network, Rappaport, whoever it may be.
Yep.
Get all your intel. And by the way, to your point earlier, BT, and anything you might have missed, check us out on the free Odyssey Rewind app. Go back, rewind, get the podcast version as well, so you can get everything from the show. You don't have to miss anything. But to your point earlier, even those guys, and I'm not saying specifically Schrager or Rappaport, whoever, they're sometimes, like, not agendas, but they're getting information to be put out there for a reason.
But sometimes people get used.
Yeah, correct.
They absolutely
without
get
even knowing
used.
It, yeah.
You know, you, hey, I'm gonna give you this, and you're gonna, not that the guy even or gal knows that they're planting it, but they're being used a little bit or manipulated, maybe a nicer way to, you know, to church it up a little bit, dress it up rather than being straight up used, but then it comes around again, like, hey, I'm gonna give you this, but I need you to put this out from an agent, or this contract's almost done, but I need you to drop this for my other client. It happens all the time.
Also, it's different sides. Agent sides, player, team.
That's true.
Certain people in the front office. You could have two people in the same front office feeling differently about it.
No doubt about it.
You just don't know.
Oh, you always hear about, always, but sometimes you hear about divided war rooms where, think about the Dallas Cowboys almost drafted Johnny Manziel.
Right.
And that was more Jerry. Everybody else talked him in, and they took the offense. They took Zach Martin, who's amazing, Hall of Famer.
So I think that there's probably a little truth into everything we're hearing, but it doesn't ultimately mean that's going to play out the way that it may seem. Who the hell knows? So I'm excited for it. We could say what we want as far as positions, a certain play that you fall in love with for whatever reason. And ultimately, they should know, and ultimately, they're going to be judged. Their livelihood is going to be based upon making these decisions right or wrong come tomorrow night.
That is true. We touched on the Yankees a little bit earlier. Frank and Syosset want to chime in. Something I think about Stanton. Frank, BT, and Sal, how you doing, buddy? What's going on?
Hi, BT. Hey, Sal.
Okay. What's up, Frank?
Just wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt, like you said, Sal, about Lindor. The guy's lost weight. According to the Yankee broadcast, he's worked hard in the offseason. He's got his legs under him at the plate.
You're talking about Judge?
Stanton.
Oh, because you said, so I think you said Lindor.
You did say Lindor, gotcha. So you're talking about Stanton.
Sal's giving Lindor the benefit of the doubt. I'm trying to give Stanton the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
In spite of his past. He's worked hard in the offseason. He's got his legs under him. According to Susan Wolman, he's generated three or four home runs, grand slam, doubles, singles, and walks. He's gotten on base every game this month. I'm just taking it month to month to month.
Mm-hmm.
Last night he drove in two of the four runs
that
they had. I'm just trying to give him the benefit of the doubt and not close the book on him.
You could. I'm not. I don't trust Giancarlo Stanton, but that's fine. Like, I'm rooting for him. He seems like a nice enough guy. It'd be nice to see him turning around a little bit, and he's gotten off to a nice start here. If I'm the Yankees, I cannot be relying on Giancarlo Stanton to be a force in the middle of that order. Not after I go get Juan Soto. It's got to be Volpe, Soto, Judge, and I think they're going to need to add another bat. Now, maybe that's Dominguez when he comes back.
Yeah.
Maybe it is Spencer Jones at some point down the road. Who knows? Maybe they trade for somebody. I don't ultimately believe in Rizzo or Stanton being those guys to hit 4-5 in that Yankee order.
You're right, Sal, but right now, I mean, Cabrera, Volpe, up until lately, Volpe. But, you know, Cabrera, Volpe, Giancarlo, and who else?
Soto.
No, listen, Frank, I think that, thank you for the call there, Frank. I want to maybe squeeze another one or two inches, but I know you held on for a while, so thank you, but very much. I think that, Stanton, I think there's two things at play. Number one, well, at least I thought there were two things at play. I thought he would be less relied upon this year. Like, that, at least I had an open mind that I buried Giancarlo, not as a human, because he's always very accountable. He's a stand-up guy. I think it really bothers him how he's disintegrated his skill set over the years, and he's just a stand-up guy, and I think we all respect that, right? So it was never, I mean, it's never personal anyway, but him in particular really went out of his way to own it. He's taken the brunt of his failures. Too many people run from it. So that's one aspect. But I thought the other guys, I thought the Yankee lineup would be much better, and maybe it will, but I thought it would be much better this year where
he became
less of a necessity.
Correct.
And right now he's still a little bit of a necessity, which is not good.
You just nailed it. You've talked about this all offseason. One of the first moves that you wanted to see made from this team was to move on from Giancarlo Stanton, but you were okay with him being back because you knew it was going to be lesser of a role with everybody else in that lineup. And now here we are a month in, and he's been one of the key figures in the Yankees' early season success.
Yep, and he's also been, to his credit, better. Now we transformed his body. And I'm not going to turn into a hitting coach here, but what's so funny?
I'm sorry. Finish your phone. I
was just going to say real fast that he's letting the ball get deeper. He trusts his hands more. He's hitting the ball harder to right field. And forget about the average. Like, he looks more viable to me this year. But, with him, it is really week to week, month to month, as our last caller said. All right, what do you got?
Dude, I'm sorry to even laugh in the middle of that.
Is it funny?
Hoff goes, you got to check out the Mets Twitter account.
Oh, let's see what the Metsies put out there. Meet the Mets.
No, dude, this is going to get you.
Meet the Mets.
So,
it's that bad?
I had to make sure it's a Mets account.
Is it really? You're not getting ball sacked here.
Hold
are
on.
You?
No, let me just show.
Let me go to the Mets account.
Yeah, okay.
Is it the first? It's the second.
Because so the first one's the pin tweet.
You want to read it there?
Oh, God almighty. Yeah.
Is this real? You see the graphic?
I see it all now. It says Seymour Wiener. C-S-E-Y-M-O-U-R. Yeah,
I know. Veteran of the game. You remember that?
I know. I love him. Seymour. Yeah, of course. A veteran. Right. Seymour Wiener wants you to come to Dollar Dog Night. And then it says a Seymour Wiener approved message. Obviously playing on the political theme where we are in the world.
There's a picture of him.
Everybody loves a wiener and he is holding up a massive hot dog.
He looks badass in that picture.
He is badass.
That is an incredible job by the social media team for the New York Mets.
Yeah, he's the best.
Dude, that is hilarious. Seymour Wiener wants you to come to Dollar Dog Night. The picture of him holding up a wiener.
I know.
Oh, my. Everyone loves a wiener. That is just brilliant marketing.
Yeah.
By the way, Dollar Hot Dog.
Also a little desperate for Dollar Hot Dog. Yeah, I mean, what are we doing here? But, you know.
I'm in for that. Dollar Hot Dog?
I love that. Hot dogs are awesome.
I bought the guys last night hot dogs. $50
What do you mean the guys? You went with just Huff.
Well, no. We went. Mitchell and Fort Lee was there.
Oh, you met up with some listeners? The guy you got the tickets from.
Yeah, Mitchell and Fort Lee.
Yeah,
helped us out to be able to buy the tickets.
Uh-huh.
Huff went, and then I was able to bring a friend. He paid for his ticket.
Yeah, sure.
One of my buddies.
All right.
We had a falling out.
You and your buddy?
Yeah. It was about the NL East is over.
You actually got mad at each other?
Yeah, oh, yeah. He sent me tags like, ha-ha, NL East is over, and I was like, you... I said like nasty things and we kind of had a falling out.
Oh, and this was like the reconciliation.
This is the first time I saw
guys are you serious?
Anyway, I bought them hot dogs. It was like hot dogs and popcorn.
How
like
much?
$50. No. Literally $48 for three hot dogs and two things of popcorn.
Go to an Islanders game. It's free.
That's a good point. That's sweet. Everything's for free. Huh?
Man, oh man. Seymour, we get your hot dogs here.
A little tiny weedy.
Oh, God. Yeah, I love Seymour Wiener. He's awesome. All right, Sal. Great show today, man. Tomorrow's going to be a blast with the NFL draft. Half. Patty B in the house, Patty Boyle, Evan Atiki coming up next. Have a great Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
I'm thirsty. I want the surf side. Thirsty.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.